You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex, industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
Hello, everyone. My name's Mike Brewer. Welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, not to be confused with a TV show of a similar name. Sitting beside me is my wingman in the passenger seat of the car, as always, Mr. Andy J.
Hello, Mike. One of these days I'll be allowed to drive. Maybe.
No.
Pass the test.
No. I've seen you drive.
Yeah, to be fair. Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
And in the back seat of the car, as ever,
it's
Mrs. B. But we have another passenger.
It's a bit of a special passenger.
This is a very special passenger because not a lot of people know that this guy is a proper, proper petrol head.
If we were to be pulled over for a naughty offence, not that I'm suggesting you do some bad driving, Mike, but let's say you just did, but you had a moment and we got pulled over with this passenger in the back, I think we'd probably be let off.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Slides down your lovely concealed windows.
Yeah,
down
the privacy glass comes
just,
down.
Just a little nod. Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah,
you're all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us introduce to you the absolutely beautiful Mr. David Gandy!
Yay!
Thank you very much.
I wish I did get away with that with the police officers.
Have you been pulled over?
Do you not just point to a poster that's going to be within the vicinity, like within a 50 yards?
They said, what date are you available for a speed course? And I said, once like a police officer did pull me over. And I had a lovely conversation with him about cars because he knew I was passionate about cars for about 15, 20 minutes. I was in a Civic Type R, the new one. Oh. He was talking about it, and I loved that car.
I had the old
And
one.
He still wrote me up and sent me on a course. I was like, you going to book me for this? He said, yeah. I thought a lovely chat would have got away with that one.
I said, I'm just doing my job. Yeah.
I was like, fair enough. Absolutely.
So, for those of you who don't know, David Gandy voted the world's most beautiful man several times over, top model, the only person that walk up the catwalk in the London Olympics,
2012.
Wasn't he? Yeah, 2012. Yeah. In amongst all the supermodels. So David Gandy is a proper model. And we're going to just quickly, because for those of them out there that are tuning in for the cars, let's quickly tell him who you are. So you were just bubbling along, David Gandy, I think possibly our paths may have crossed, I'm not too sure. I used to write for a magazine called Auto Express, and before you were worldly famous, you used to drive cars around for Auto Express and deliver them to journalists.
That's pretty much why I did. I went on a few weeks work experience at Auto Express, and they asked me to stay on for a while, and then that was before university, and then I went off to university.
Was it David Johns days?
There was Oliver Marriage.
Oliver Marriage,
time. Yeah.
Still a friend of mine, Ollie.
Yeah, and there's a funny story because I now write about cars, of course, and I go on and get invited to all the launches. And of course, Ollie was there, and he wouldn't have recognised me because he saw me as 17-year-old go and make the tea kind of David Gandy. And then I said to him, Ollie, you don't remember me, do you? He said, no, obviously knew who I was now. And then I said, you don't remember scaring the death out of me in a Audi TT, do you? Once, like when they were launched and we did the Porsche, was it the Porsche Cayman and
Audi TT.
Audi TT. And he said, was that you? I said, yeah, that was me.
He can pedal as well, Ollie Marriage.
That was an honour to be in that car at that point. Because
really
those
pedal.
Things, those TTs were also, that was before they took them back and put them all ESP and the spoiler on the back.
Yeah.
So those things were, they were flying around
the early,
quite dangerously.
The Mark 1 Audi TT, the early one.
The early one that hadn't been touched.
Yes.
So, and I actually saw one the other day.
The Peter Stevens rear spoiler to keep it down at the rear. Yeah, I remember those cars. See, I had cars. I was right in the rear view section of Auto Express for many years. But yeah, maybe our paths did cross. Maybe you just dropped the car off, stared at this fat bloke in the corner, and then went off again. That was you in your early years, driving cars around for Auto Express. So obviously you were very, very keen on cars back then. You get to drive Jaguar, Porsche, everything. You get to do that. But probably at that point, you don't have the means to go and buy such cars. You are...
No, not at all. And I was, at that stage, I was driving a 10-year-old Ford Fiesta 1.1.
Nothing wrong with a 1.1 Ford Fiesta.
It was a gear. Still trying to work out what the gear meant on this car.
Almost fast.
Yes, well, gear meant that you've got a wing mirror. That's basically it, wasn't it?
I think that was about it.
Yeah, wing mirror and hubcaps. So once you've, you're into cars, you're driving around in your little Fiesta.
Did you pass first time?
No.
Oh, really?
No. I was probably a little bit cocky on my first one.
So there you are, driving around in your little Fiesta. You're delivering Porsches and Jaguars and Audis and BMWs for Auto Express. But you don't have the means to go and buy one of these cars. But then you have this sort of lucky break. I do believe it's your flatmate entered you
Housemate at university.
Entered you into a modelling competition for a daytime television show hosted by Richard and Judy, of which you won.
Yeah.
And somehow that come with a modelling contract.
Yeah. With Select Model Agency, who are still my agency 20 years on.
Seriously? That is fantastic. Mm. So what was that moment like? You know, first and foremost, you must have been going to your mate, what have you done to me? Why have you done this?
Yeah, it was odd to see because I never thought about being in the fashion industry. So I was very green. I didn't know what to expect going into the industry whatsoever. And it took a while. You know, it took 5 or 6 years to get to, you know, that platform of where I wanted to be, or the start of where I knew that platform could take me, which was Dolce & Gabbana. So it was a lot of, you know, hard graft and me learning about the industry and seeing where I fitted in. And yeah, it was strange, but at the same time, it was you know, we were traveling the world. The frustrations of school and university was that I felt that we just weren't really doing anything. I thought there was a world to be discovered. I thought there was so much to see, and I wasn't seeing any of it. That was frustrations. The thing I say about university is the only thing I learned was that I shouldn't have gone to university.
What did you study there then?
Multimedia computing and marketing.
Oh, geek.
Is that just because you couldn't decide what to do?
No, the others in the club were the geeks. I was the one that did the class and who didn't even go to the first the first lesson with a computer. There's lots of people there with laptops, and I came after a good 2 weeks of freshers not looking that fresh.
Yeah, so well, that's a good university.
It's a great university.
I enjoyed the first 2 weeks. It went downhill after that.
You just learn how to smoke and drink. So once you start this modelling career with Select, there must have been a point when a check comes in. Do you remember that point?
It doesn't generally happen like that, but I remember, if you're going to say when I remember when I could treat myself to my
correct
to
that's
my
where
first
I'm going
car,
that's
yeah.
where I'm going mm-hmm. So when the first check comes in, obviously you're David Gandy, you've been driving around in a 1.1 Fiesta for years.
Well, it didn't quite. My dad was very adamant that I wasn't going to have anything nice in the first year, it was a bit of a pull car from one of his companies, the 1.1 Fiesta. Then we negotiated a little bit, and I had a little bit of money because I was actually I did a few jobs. One of them being I was a pizza deliverer and did quite well out of it. I worked for Auto Express, so we had a bit of money. So I then went off to buy a Peugeot 106 XSI.
Get in,
yeah,
the 106.
What a car!
I mean, it's a great little car.
I love that car.
Yeah, quick. Front wheel drive, quick, very light on the metal, very thin metal. You know, you could dent the doors quite
very
easily.
Light on the rear end when
Meet
you lift
you had
off.
A 106.
As well.
Yeah, you had a 106. Yeah. So I remember that
we
little red one.
Yeah. We shut it now.
And I also used it to do a bit of hedge trimming in Essex.
All right, okay, you went off the road a few times.
You learn about lift off oversteer. Once you learn about it, really fun. But if you learn about it the hard way. Yeah, so I did a little hedge trimming in Essex.
What would that cost now to get a mint condition one of that? It would be ridiculous.
Quite expensive now. The Rally is more expensive than the XSI. Remember the 106 Rally?
Yeah, I've got a 205 Rally. I'm just restoring at the moment, yeah.
Fab. I think Chris Harris has got a Rally.
I think he might have a Rally, yes.
So, yeah. I mean, always then wanted the GTI, but always had the XSI. And then, what were we after that?
Are we modelling now? Are we still?
We are modelling.
We're modelling, right? Then, so you've got an XSI. So you're rocking up to sort of shoots in a 106 XSI?
No, we won't be driving anyway. But yeah, that was, do I have the XSI then? I'm trying to think what.
I want to know what the big one then. Was. You know, when the
big, I'll tell you the big one was a Lotus 111R.
Get in.
So it was like that was when I was about, but that was quite a way into it. So that was sort of mid-20s and I'd saved up and I was going either TVR or, I don't know why I was thinking TVR.
I was going to say,
forgive
you
me.
Clearly made the right choice if it was between that and Lotus.
I would imagine the Lotus 111R, you're a tall fella. I would imagine
Any problems with that really.
Was that quite a big decision to spend all that money on a car at that time?
Yeah, yeah.
You had to really think about it.
Because I had to graft for it as well. Like, it sounds like with fashion industry, everyone thinks you walk in and you're on hundreds of thousands. It's not the way it really works.
Well, just how difficult it, and I don't mean this to sound like a condescending question because it really isn't, because I've seen a lot of kind of people talk about this on kind of, you know, YouTube and whatnot. How hard actually is it to do the catwalk? Because
that's such a condescending question.
Well, no, but it looks like it's dead simple, doesn't it? You just walk down, turn around and walk off. But it's theatre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's theatre.
I mean, you have catwalk models now who you have the big guys that sort of come in and come and do it. And the girls, of course, are trained and they have walks. Guys just walk down.
Oh, so it is it's just a stroll.
That's what I tell people. Because I was ambassador for Men's Fashion Week and they used to have certain celebrities come up and they would pull me aside and go, what do I have to do? And I go, how long have you been walking for? And they were, since I was two, I was like, that's pretty much it. But one of the weird things is, and you're probably, you know, a bit like on film, is you're walking around everywhere. But when someone says walk in front of camera, you then think about your walking.
Yeah.
And it's very strange. Yeah. You then start thinking about it and you go, I'm walking very weirdly. Or,
yes.
You know, so it is, you're doing that in front of this massive audience, of course. Mm. And the last thing you want to do is fall over.
Yeah.
That's like you're concentrating on that. It's so no, it's not hard whatsoever, but it's a very alien experience, of course, walking out in front of this. And you don't want to be the person that falls over in the Dolce & Gabbana show.
No.
Because, of course, that's all that show is going to be.
That's what it's remembered for.
But I have to ask the question, have you ever fallen over?
No.
Just in the uni days.
You would have,
but we're not on heels or anything. Yeah. So, compared to what the girls have to sort of go through and the height of the heels and stuff like that. So, the one time I did nearly fall over, and this is quite funny, and actually there's a footage of this. I was actually in swimming shorts walking down Dolce & Gabbana show, and for some reason just nearly tripped over on nothing. But you know when you trip over, then you blame something that you thought, that for? I couldn't blame anything. You see me sort of walking and have a bit of a stumble.
Did you do that sort of embarrassed chuckle to yourself? Kind of like, look at me.
Exactly. So,
right, so Lotus 111R,
it
weighs the same as a dry J cloth.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Mm. Very, very... connected little car.
You can feel
everything that's happening underneath.
Mid-engine,
it.
So things can happen very, very quickly in that car as well.
Is David Gandy at that time, is David Gandy thinking, I'm a race driver. I am a race driver. I'm Nigel Mansell. This is me. I'm a race driver.
No, think I'd learnt lesson in the 106 and you learn your, you learn your limitations a little bit about...
The Essex Hedges taught you all you needed to know. Yeah.
And then you're into something a little bit properly fast and mid-engined.
Yeah.
So I've got to really be quite honest. I was travelling so much at that time. I didn't get to drive that 111R. Loved the look of it, but I didn't get to drive it very much. Because I was on that by that stage. I was sort of getting towards 60, 70, 80 flights a year. So I was actually coming back and I was leaving the car up at my mum and dad saying, can you just turn it over and take it for a drive and get it and come back?
The valets of Heathrow would have loved it though, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah. So it was...
the lowest mileage 111R ever put onto the marketplace.
Weird thing actually. My dad called me the other day because they're clearing out the garage. He said, there's a roof in my garage. I went, is it titanium grey? So I don't know what, my dad has no idea about cars. I went, is it to a Lotus? He went, I have no idea. I went, I think it's the hardtop to the Lotus.
Stick it on eBay. You'll do well out of that.
You probably will.
I've just restored a Europa.
Mm.
So I just restored a Europa. I couldn't get my left thigh in it. It was quite incredible. It was a Series 2, but in a Series 1 chassis. And I just can't believe how small they are, those cars. I mean, they're absolutely tiny.
Yeah.
But amazing experience. Again, you know, you're just sort of connected inside that car.
I did the same thing that we were, because it shoots, if they say we need a car. And I always I always dominantly tell them when I were at shooting, I say, well, let's get a car ring and then we'll do something around the car. And they say, what would you like? So I try and get a car that I really want to drive, like a classic car. So I called in a Porsche, James Dean one? 550 Spyder. Oh. So I brought one in. They're tiny. Firstly, I stood beside it. I'm not that small. It looks like a toy car. So we couldn't shoot it because I look far too big for it. And then I couldn't fit in it and drive it.
I've got a 550 Spyder.
Have you?
Yeah, 1952 550 Spyder.
Yeah, I slide in.
She can get in it very comfortably. I'm working on it. Anyway, in terms of then, you know, your passion for cars...
Mm.
Obviously, you're flying around the world, you're being David Gandy. Little digression here. What's that moment like when you walk into Times Square and see a 50-foot picture of yourself in the middle of Times Square?
Wish I'd seen it.
You didn't see it? You must have got pictures. You must have had people sending you pictures of it.
I've seen the pictures of it, but never actually
I see you on the tube all the time, David.
You're always saying
just give me this moody look.
Yeah. Bus stops are quite a regular one for me seeing David. Yeah. You know, on that, but on the tube.
Quite the same as Times Square.
No, really. Times Square is pretty special.
I came up with this idea of a marketing thing with Vitabiotics and Wellman. I think that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like it came up with who could be the best bit of graffiti and take a picture and send it to us. Of course, Vitabiotics was like, please don't do this.
So what's in the car collection these days? So if, obviously, mm-hmm. you're still buzzing around the world. You're still very busy.
Yeah.
Does mum and dad still house some cars for you? Or is there now a Gandy car collection?
I've worked with Jaguar Land Rover, which I should call them now. Worked with those guys since about 2009. So I've gone through pretty much everything
they've had.
Jaguar had.
Yeah.
Very fortunate. Probably still my favourite is the XKRS. I had an XK.
Ian Callum car.
XKRS in white.
I thought you were going to say the F Type SVR, which is a special car.
No, I would go. I still see the XKs on the road and think that is a good looking car.
It is a good looking car.
I think it's a special car.
I remember going on a launch of that in South Africa with Ian. Sharing a car with him, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Lovely car. British Racing Green, the one that I drove.
You can kind of say that about anything from the Callum fold. He just knows how to produce beautiful cars.
Also with Ian as well, is that when they first launch, I think this is the genius of Ian Callum, is you go, a bit like the XJ. You go, I remember when the XJ was launched and we were there, it was a Saatchi gallery, and there was a bit of silence, a bit of awkward silence, because we didn't quite know how to comprehend what we were seeing,
yeah.
But you look at that car today.
It's beautiful.
It's stunning car.
It's timeless.
They are timeless. Yeah. And all his stuff, we're talking about the XK, which are the timeless designs, I think. They're absolutely
gorgeous.
He
drew a car, actually, for me, Ian, with five pen strokes. I've got it rolled up somewhere. We've been meant to mount that. With five pen strokes. And he drew a car. He said, you can design a really good car with five pen strokes. And I said, show me. And he drew it. And it was the XK. And I'm like, Jesus, how did you do that? And it is just five simple lines, but it's beautiful.
You know, the problem is this. If I try and draw a car, it looks like I'm still trying to draw a car when I was 5 years old.
Yes.
I draw a wheel.
Postman Pat.
Free box saloon.
How do you still look like that? I've been hanging out with Ian for quite a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the CX-75, that's the car.
Oh, that's the car they should have made. Yeah.
Every time I go out to Classics, they've still got a few there.
It's infuriating, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're so frustrating. Why didn't they do it?
Well, because of money. And
they had
that car
the orders.
They had the orders. Car was built by Williams. I nearly bought one. CX-75. They had five, and they were disposing of the Bond one.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited me to go and
buy it.
Detuned
V8ing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And it was the volcanic orange one. They invited me and Michelle up to go and buy it, and I walked around it and I stood there staring at it, going, that's £1 million, that car. That is definitely going to be £1 million car. And we were going to live in a tent there because I was going to sell the house. I said I'll sell the house, let's buy the car because I can sell the car and buy us a better house. That hurts.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got an affinity with Jaguar Land Rover.
Yeah, Jaguar. We have. So I still do. So the everyday at the moment is F-Pace SVR.
Okay,
new one, which
that'll do.
Do you like it?
Love it.
Yeah.
And now everyone I've been reading, I think it was Steve Sutcliffe reviewed it the other day and said, it's a pretty five-star car. Harry from Harry's Garage has got one. And then he said, and actually didn't realise how good this was, that's the car that Jaguar should have been building for all these years. That's why I always said Jaguar should have been the British Porsche. They're the cars they should have had.
Yeah.
Forget the saloons, forget the maybe even the E-Pace, stuff like that. They should have been the Porsche. But, it is where it is now. But I've been very fortunate just to have seen what Jaguar are bringing out in 2025. And that is going to blow everyone away.
I have heard so many different stories of this, and I'm assuming there's not a lot you can tell us, given that we're
No, I can't. I've signed NDA. Yeah, it will make everyone look, every other car company look like they're 30 years behind.
I think it's fair to say, from what I've heard, at least I haven't seen it myself yet, but from what I've heard is it's such a step change, it'll shock everyone.
I think
is
it needs
that
to
fair?
Be, guys. If I'm totally honest, I think Jaguar are at that place, and I love the Jaguar brand. But it's very difficult. I've seen this in working with historic British brands in fashion as well. Is you're trying to hold on to this customer, you're trying to hold on to this loyal customer that has probably already left you. You're trying to get a new customer, and you end up in a no man's land of not knowing really what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that is a hard thing for a brand to keep stepping up. And
plus you're twinned with the juggernaut that is Land Rover. You know, that's. If you have a direct competitor for sales, that you're directly linked to. You couldn't think of a worse competitor than Land Rover, who are just smashing it. You know, they're selling everything. So it's,
well, of course, they had the problem of being with, you know, with Jaguar Land Rover, is the fact that every car company is basically an SUV company now, in many ways. And you had Land Rover were part. So if Jaguar had been a completely separate company, they probably could, but they had to work with Jaguar Land, and Land Rover had the best SUVs. You know, they're not all SUVs, they're 4x4s as well. So where do you sit in that with everything at the end of the day?
Is this Jaguar's Hail Mary?
Good question.
Well, you just said Jaguar...
That's an unreadable face, Mr.
Well,
Gandy.
Well, that it is. Well, you just said Jaguar at this point, right? If they're at this point, do they throw everything? This is the one last kick. You know, the whistle's just about to blow. Jaguar are either going to win or lose at this one. I gather, because I can't see a future for a car company that only sell 10,000 cars a year globally, where, you know, you've got the likes of Porsche, which you said they should have been selling 10,000 cars a week, you know. So is this their Hail Mary?
It probably is. Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, I think they're doing, whether I agree with what they're doing or not, this is what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And if something's, I mean, my point is, if something's not going right, turn left, you know, and they're going as left as possible.
Good.
And it looks spectacular.
They need to do that.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast, brought to you by the Gardex Group. Gardex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Gardex. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
This is the Wheeler Dealer podcast with Mike Burr and Andy Jay.
Right, so we've established that you've got this link now with Jaguar and Land Rover, or Jaguar Land Rover.
So at the moment, I've just finished a 64 Porsche 356. Restored.
Baby Gandy again.
Not restored by myself, just to let you know.
Yes.
If you
ever
get
colour?
What colour? So I've traded a very, very midnight blue. Ooh. So it almost looks like a black.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, outlaw Rod Emery. It's my interpretation of the two. And then, so many years ago, stored an XK120 with Jaguar.
Is that the one that you did the Milli Milli in?
We did the Milli Milli, the UAE Milli Milli. We shipped it over and, took it over there.
Have you still got it?
What, the 120?
Yeah.
It was slightly impounded for a while in the UAE until we paid some fines. But it is on its way back, I hear.
Is there a car that you would love to have in the David Gandy collection? Is there a car out there you go, I just got to have one of those one day?
I keep looking at Ferrari 330 GTC.
Yeah, nice car.
Keep
sensible as well for a Ferrari.
Yeah, I mean, sensible, that's why I'm looking at.
Do they keep going up in price?
They do, and I do many times, I look at cars and think, they're a bargain, I should buy those, and then don't buy them, and then buy them when they're a bit more expensive. I mean, if the dream, if I could have anything, might would be XKSS.
That's a great choice.
That's a great choice.
I mean, that's just a proper gentleman's cruiser, isn't it? It really
is a beautiful looking car. Is that the unicorn for you?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's got the Steve McQueen. I love that. Disney Steve McQueen called it the what do you call it? His green rat. Yeah. And then he sold it. And then many years ago, he had to buy it back.
Yeah, he was furious. He sold it, wasn't he? It was the one that he shouldn't have.
I lived in California for 6 years with Michelle, and almost every car show I went to, somebody claimed they had a Steve McQueen car. I'd never seen Steve McQueen must have had the world's biggest private car collection on the planet, because everyone claims at one time he owned that.
Yeah. It's just that car, guys. That I've been very fortunate to drive many, many classic cars and great cars, but that is. It's just the one that I would adore to have.
That's how we met, David. You and I met at the... Hang on, where was it? It was in LA.
Oh, that was the continuation.
Do you remember at the continuation? Yeah. We met at that, and had just driven it, and it was a experience for you, if I remember rightly.
It was an amazing experience. It was also very stressful, because that was obviously the only model that Classics had built at that time. Do you remember the story?
Yes,
I was driving it for CNN, and... We were driving around the industrial areas of to keep it very, very secret. but it was getting overheated because we weren't taking it very far at all. So we gave it a bit of a rest, and we were talking, and then the bonnet was up to cool it down. I saw one of the engineers going over and had his hand on the radiator, and I was like, I really hope, and he just undid the radiator, and this geezer of water for this car that had to go on stand about 3 hours later just poured over the whole entire car, including the interior. No one said anything. Everyone just grabbed cloths, anything they could, and it was just hands on deck to get this car back to. And no one really knew about it, but on stage, and I was like, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, and for those listening out there, the XKSS continuation car was sold. Mm. They were sold for £1.8 million, not dollars, £1.8 million. So that's why David was probably panicking. It was
especially as that was the first one.
Yeah, the first one.
Beautiful. It was the Peterson Museum.
Yeah,
that's it.
I would have panicked more about the originals because I drove an original around the Millbrook testing ground. And the guy came up to me who looked after this guy's collection of cars and said, just to let you know, Mr. Gannon, we've just turned down an offer for 15 million. For this car.
Yes.
And I was like, please don't be the person that bins the XKSS.
Well, it becomes less pleasurable to drive.
Yes, it does.
But it is a car you can't drive slowly. I did on a whole article about this, that the car does not like to be driven at any other. It's a race car. And everything moves in millimetres of, you know, the short shift gearbox to say nothing. There's no long play on everything, and it just has to get going. And once it's going, it's just incredible. But until that point, it's a horrible thing to bloody drive until it gets going. And then you're like, right now I see it. Yeah, it's a D-type. It's a D-type racing car.
Yeah,
is what it is. But that would be the one. I mean, there's always a few. I've always wanted a Lancer Delta Integrale Evo 2. Again, missed the sort of boat on those when I was looking at those.
Yeah, I've had a few of those in my time, but I've been fortunate enough to own these, you know, that car, Evo 2, and I would say it's the best point-to-point car on the planet still today. If you go and throw any piece of road in front of it, it would just annihilate it, and it'd come out the other end with a big smile on your face.
Yeah, it was sort of that. I mean, you remember the Subaru Imprezas. I looked at those for a while.
Yeah, 22B.
I think I was kind of looking at those around about sort of Elise time as well. And then, of course, like Mitsubishi Evo 5s.
Yeah.
I mean, 0.8 a bit. And that was, whether it was, that was always what I was looking for in car, that fastest car to go 0.8 to B. And that's why I like the Civic Type R. When we took that, we put it back to back. I was writing for a magazine. And I got a very good friend of mine, my best friend, he's a proper peddler of a car. And he was in the Ford RS. And we went, okay, so the Civic Type R is not going to see where the RS goes. He could not, he stopped. I thought he had broken down. He finally caught up with me and went, what is in that Civic Type? I went, you've got to drive this. This is something very, very special.
Yeah, that VTEC engine is, I always feel it's kind of a, how can you get into a piece of machinery with a warranty that feels like it's going to explode in between every gear change? And you go, are they mental, these Japanese guys? What have they given us here? Yeah. I mean, it does sound like it's going to blow up in between every gear change.
Yeah, it does.
But you snatch another gear and away you go again. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
I'm not sure about the looks, but it is absolutely fab. And for going back to collection, and then I started the classics with fully restored. I fully restore all the cars, not me, myself. A Mercedes 190 SL 1960.
Oh, I love that.
So started with that one. Sold that one. And then ironically sold that one to try and build a garage to put the others in. The irony is not lost on me.
That makes sense. I mean, that's the 190 SL is a beautiful looking car. Not that fun to drive. They are quite slow.
Not that fun at all.
But a beautiful looking car. Mm. And people always go with their heart rather than their arse when they buy those cars. Because if you got in and drove it, your arse wouldn't feel excitement with
it. And we took all the Weber car Berettas off and went back to the original. And there's no direct fuel injunction, so you have to go out and pump the fuel through. None of that is fun. Once it gets going, it's a beautiful car and everyone talks to you about it. But
it's fun once, isn't it?
That's kind of classics in many ways. That's probably why my favourite is like the XK.
Yeah.
You know, and we drove that in the UAE and it didn't put a foot wrong.
So what excites you is cars that give you that sort of visual experience. You like to be connected to the car and you like to be excited by it.
Yeah, I think my problem with cars is not a problem with cars. I don't really care what I drive. I mean, we've also got an E-Pace hybrid that we drive around in, and my missus will go and reach for, she'll take the keys for the V8 SVR. I don't mind at all. I'll whiz around. In yeah. I love driving that much. It doesn't really matter to me what I drive.
Right. Well, that is fascinating in terms of what you like and what you love and your car history. But now we're going to give you a bit of a fantasy road trip if we can, okay. David.
Yep.
And you can choose any car you like. Okay. So we are going to give you a fantasy road trip. And it could be anywhere on the planet, mm-hmm. right? That's where we're going to go with this. But first up, we need a car to go on this road trip. What would David Gandy choose as a vehicle to go on a road trip? Bear in mind, you're going to have passengers.
No.
Because you were about to say
you're not paying, David. This is on Mike.
This is on me. I'm going to. It's one of mine. You're out of my collection.
Well, then, I'm gathering you might ask me where we're going next. So I will go, because I haven't got one, for Ferrari 330.
Right. Very good.
2+2.
2+2, Ferrari 330.
V12.
Which I think the proper Ferrari is V12 rear-wheel drive.
We'll allow it, won't we? We'll allow that. Yep.
We'll allow that.
We'll allow that.
That's a good one.
Yep. That's a choice.
Red? Blue.
I'd go blue.
Oh, blue. You'd go Tour de France blue.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to get it resprayed, Mike, then. Yours is red, isn't it? You're going to have to get it blue.
That's all right, I can wrap
it. We can do it.
Tour de France blue. Right, so we're in the Ferrari 330. Who's beside you?
Are they driving at all?
You can drive if you want. I mean, you could have Prince sat beside you, Michael Jackson, Winston Churchill, in Callum. Ask him why he didn't draw this one.
You can have Yoda.
Love that one.
You can have Gandalf if you want. It's Italian.
Who would I have? Michael Caine.
Oh, my God. What a shout.
Of course.
What a shout that is. So we're in the blue Ferrari 330.
Yeah.
Michael Caine sat beside you. You are in a 2+2, so you can take a couple of rear seat passengers.
Two more.
Oof, dear me.
They need to be small, I suppose, to go in the back of that 330. I mean, you might be talking
about Roland Ratz.
Ronnie Corbett. George Best.
Ronnie Corbett is the only person I've asked for a picture.
Shall I write him down? Is he going in the back seat of the car?
I know this probably bothers you so much, but I said, you're the only person I'm ever going to ask for a picture. And he said, of course. Because I remember him with the two Ronnies. He used to tell those stories, sit in his chair and tell the
brilliant.
Story. And that was on a Saturday, Sunday.
Do you want him and one of the crankies?
He might be brilliant.
Jimmy Crankey.
So we're having Ronnie Corbett and Nicola Sturgeon.
I'd have Billy Connolly.
Brilliant. We're in a blue Ferrari 330. We've got Michael Caine, current Michael Caine, sat beside him. And in the back, you've got the Big Inn. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool. So far, that's pretty cool. And the other seat?
Only because I've always had the biggest crap, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, that's fair.
So far, it's pretty good, isn't
happy,
it?
Happy.
Yeah, that's so pretty, far, it's pretty good. Pretty great, right, it's going to get better because where are you? Where's your starting point?
Dear me. I would probably take the coastal road from the Amalfi Coast. Going up from Positano up to Ravello.
Stop off a bit of pasta.
Which is one of the best.
Okay.
I do love Tuscany. I do love Italy. There is a point where I was driving the Mille Miglia and we were doing it in the XK120 and I had Yasmin Le Bon and we're driving in Tuscany. It's absolutely beautiful. We're hurtling down and she is hand feeding me Haribo. And there was a point that went, oh, it's never going to get better than this, is it?
No.
This is basically it. I may as well just...
Spin off the road now and die.
As a very, very happy man.
Which leads us very helpfully to our next question, which is, what's the snack?
Yeah.
What is the snack? Is it? It might be Haribo.
Could be Haribo.
Does anyone go on a road trip without Haribo?
Right. So I'm going to write Haribo down. There is a lifetime supply of Haribo winging its way to Mr. David Gandy's address as we say that. Right. So we're in the Ferrari 330. Michael Caine sat beside you. Mm-hmm. Billy Connolly, Michelle Pfeiffer is behind. It's a Amalfi Coast. You're driving and you're all munching on Haribos. It sounds brilliant so far. What's playing on the stereo?
Oof.
What's David Gandy's go-to?
My mum used to, there were two, when we were young, my dad used to work in Kent and we grew up in Essex and we used to go and visit my grandparents in London. On the way back, there was an unspoken rule that I go with mum, my sister goes with my dad. I don't know why, it's just they then be the rules. And that's what happened. And then they kind of used to have a bit of a race down the A127 to get back home. But my dad that listens to no music, and my mum loves Motown, soul. So she used to make her old mixtapes in the cassette of a Citroen BX GTI. That's one for a blast from the past.
Good car now.
So I was brought up literally on Motown.
So Motown.
Motown, soul. a lot of, I mean, it's not really Motown, but then a lot of Hall & Oates. So my happy place is like Hall & Oates.
So we've got some Motown playing on the stereo. Everyone's munching on the Haribo. The Ferrari V12 is barking away.
Yeah.
You're on the Amalfi Coast. Where are you going? And it doesn't have to be in Italy. You could be going anywhere. Yeah,
the road can go anywhere.
The road can go anywhere. Where are you going? So where are you taking these people?
We will end up from Italy, rather a long drive. We will end up in the African plain to have a sundowner.
A sundowner on the African plain.
Oh, that's. I'd like to go on this trip. This sounds nice.
Because yeah. this is a peculiar thing. When I've gone, we've been to Africa quite a few times.
I was just about to say, Dave Gaddy's already done this, hasn't he? You know, he's just repeating back something that he's already done. Yeah. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
He's already said, I was on the Amalfi Coast with Yasmin Le Bon. Yeah. I was in a very special car. He was eating the Haribo, and he's just about to drop. He's been to the African plains a few times.
Yeah, the weird thing is that all day when you're trekking for animals and you're in cars, they say, don't exit the car. Don't put your hands out because the animals see you just as one, so it's not dangerous. And then at 5:30, 6 o'clock, they put the back of the Land Rover down. They get a table out. They put the gin tonics on. They put a couple of deck chairs. And you're like, well, hang on a minute. You saw this all day. And these animals are kind of like, you're walking around. There's cheetahs over there and lions and elephants. You're like, are you sure this is okay? Like, it's always peculiar. But I think it's my one time that it just takes you back to just nothing else can really touch you at that point. Like it takes you back to
it's our earth used to be before
absolutely
until
your mobile phone goes off, of course, or you're taking bits on it.
Right, so David Gandy, we have now arrived in the African plain. The table and chairs has been laid out. We've got Michael Caine cracking stories. You've got Billy Connolly telling one of his jokes, marching up and down with his pantaloon trousers. Michelle Pfeiffer is just putting some fresh talcum powder in her catsuit for you. The Haribo has been annihilated. Everyone's gone through the Haribo as you're just singing. A slight bit of Motown is playing in the background, but the Motown, unfortunately, is getting more and more distant in the background. That's because somebody has just stolen the car.
It was a gazelle.
So the car has now been stolen. So the car is whisked off. So now you need to get everybody back home. So it's just a car that you need to get everybody back home in.
The good news here, though, David, the good news is that it turns out that on the African plains, Mike has a garage, right?
Around the corner.
This is Mike Brewer Motors Global.
And because you've been on this pod, he's just a phone call away. So he can sort you out on the African plains.
Whatever you need, I've got
any car.
So
any car you've
just got. We've got to
You've had his Ferrari nicked, but nonetheless, he'll forgive you for that one.
The hard thing is thinking actually of something that's going to seat us all.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah.
What about you and Michelle Pfeiffer in a Honda S2000?
Really?
Oh, he's not into it.
No.
He's
pulling $9,000 in between every gear change across the African plain up to the Amalfi Coast.
Was never a fan.
Never a fan.
Was never a fan.
Yeah,
we need to get somewhere quite quickly. And there's probably a bit of a rally heritage. And remember the old African rallies? Lance Del Chindigale.
Integrale. It's an inter. Mate, I'll tell you what, that is a wicked road trip, isn't it?
That's a good road
trip. You can picture that, though, can't you, in your head?
And anyone that wants to sponsor this car trip, I'm available. On my Instagram.
But this is David Gandy, so there is no doubt somebody out there going, oh, really? No, we can hello, Charles. Yeah. Charles, do you think we can do... I mean, it is David Gandy. We can do this. Could Michelle Pfeiffer be Michelle Brewer? Could Michael Caine be Mike Brewer?
Yeah.
And could Billy Connolly be Addie J? Please, that was to happen, please,
I think it would be,
Mr. Gandy, as we helped it.
A train back as well.
I can get some better jokes.
We would get some better jokes. Yeah. Right, now... last question of this pod today is from Mrs. B. So, Mrs. B, what's the killer question?
Okay, so you've had an amazing journey.
Yeah.
If you hadn't have gone down that road, where do you think you would be, what would you be doing?
That's a great question.
I know this is a great question, and I've been asked it a few times, but I've never known how to answer it. I should have done something in cars. That's what I know what I should have done.
Would that be a racing driver or an engineer?
No, definitely. Definitely not good on a gun on racing driver.
Mechanic?
Or good enough. I mean, probably something to do with engineering or design within cars.
Designing.
I do, engineering stuff and stuff like that. And I get to see what Jaguar are doing, and I see the environment. I go and see Ian and his team, like Callum Designs, And there's a lot of me that goes, this is what you should be doing. Yeah. This is where I get the passion. I love fashion. It's design. It's, you know, I get a little bit, but the passion is, I always say fashion pays for the passion. And that's what it is. And that's what you've got.
So what
that
part of the car is your passion? Is it the engine?
It's the design. It's the whole thing. And this is why I love, I've sort of gone back to, oh, this is why I love classic cars. You know, it's the whole package of, you know, cars now are, if you were blindfolded and put into a car, very hard sometimes to distinguish what you're driving, especially with the engines now being hybrids and turbocharged. And they're all very good. You know, someone was asking me the other day, oh, my husband needs QI. I said, look, there's not really, to be honest, there's not a bad car. There used to be very bad cars on the road. Yeah. There's not bad cars on the road anymore, really, at the end of the day. And they're all
But they don't make them how they used to.
If you're not integrated in driving that car, it's, you know, there's a lot of very clever and very good things that keep you on roads and keep you safe and everything else, but it takes a lot away from that car. With a classic car, you're recalibrating your brain into driving again at the end of the day, and it's observing the road, and you're much more aware when you're driving a classic car. You have to be aware. There's so many distractions in modern day stuff.
Well, you actually put the key in, don't you, and turn it.
Today it's buttons
and God knows what, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I can see a David Gandy Callum design sort of car in my future.
I'm quite excited.
Well, no doubt he would draw one of the most beautiful cars in the world because he is the most beautiful man in the world. Thank you very much, David Gandy, for being a part of the Wheeler Dealer podcast.
You've been
an absolute pleasure to have on, going through your car history and what makes you tick. Ladies and gentlemen, David Gandy.
Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Gardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Gardex. Visit GardexGroup.com. We'll be back next time with another trip through the automotive alphabet. So if you've got any questions for us, then please get in touch. Andy J on Twitter and Instagram, Mrs. M Brewer on Twitter and Instagram, and me, I'm Mike Brewer, Twitter and Instagram, and Wheeler Dealer on Facebook.
This has been a TBI Media production. We'll see you very soon.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!